We got through that hurricane. How about you? That's right. Turn around and get somebody high five, low five, no five. God's good. There's a story. There's the story of a politician. I know. This reminds me of our neighbor. Our neighbor behind us has a little poodle about that big. It's nothing but a bunch of hair and a bark. And our neighbor's daughter decided to buy some chickens. And so there's little bitties in the backyard, way on back in the backyard in their yard. And I walked out there yesterday trying to clean up some more stuff from the storm. And as I went looking, all those bitties were running everywhere. And that poor little poodle's trying to herd them in. I thought about that thing. I didn't realize poodles were a herd dog. I'm pretty sure the poodle didn't think so either. Yeah, God's good. You know, there was a story told of a politician who, after receiving the proofs of a portrait, was very angry with the photographer. He's thrown back to the photographer and arrived with these angry words: "This picture does not do me justice." The photographer replied, "Sir, with a face like yours, you don't need justice. You need mercy." Well, you know what? I'm glad we didn't get justice in this storm. Amen. I was sitting there in the wind and sitting there looking at everything, and I remember the power went out, and somebody said, "You're going to stay there." And I just felt a calm during the whole storm. Although there was the normal pickups, normal, you know, the normal feeling inside. Because if you're not human, you may not feel anything at all. If you're an Indian outside, one of those Indians outside of a store holding a cigar, you might not get shook up at all, or one of those mannequins in the window. But anybody with any kind of sense is going to have to be shook up a little bit during this storm, especially when you're hearing things falling all around you, and you got stuff going on, and you got power going out. And then the people that you're watching for the weather, they go out. It's kind of tough. Amen. And so I was thinking about it. But like this morning, the mighty army this morning was actually those that say it can't be done needs to move out of the way of those who's getting it done. Did y'all hear that? One more time. Those that say it can't be done need to get out of the way, move out of the way of those that's getting it done. I used to use that all the time at Fountain when I was there. Because they'd say, "It can't be done, it can't be done. Preacher, this time you bit off more than you could chew, it can't be done." And I'd say, maybe us, but with us and God together, we can do anything. You know, I was in Walmart, and you know that everybody was really, 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 really preparing for this storm really, really bad, because I don't think I have seen in the last few years as much stuff that was being taken off the shelf so fast. And then way ahead of time. Normally it's the last day or two. No, this was the week before. There was so much going on. And there was a lot of loss. But praise God, not as much as there could have been. Amen. And so while I'm sitting there in the storm, the Lord started speaking to me. And so I just started thanking Him. And as I was thanking Him, I was looking over at Bethany, and the storm had her in worse shape than she was already in. And of course, Bethany, they took her off of chemo. And that was going to be a plan eventually, but not this soon. And then we're going to put her in immunotherapy. And the difference is chemo can many times shrink melanoma. Now, we're talking melanoma, not just any kind of cancer. Melanoma, but it cannot cure melanoma. You have to have immunotherapy to come in. After chemo shrinks it down to it can be worked on, then immunotherapy can come in and give life. They've had so far the longest person that's lived with it is 9 years, and that's the person that had immunotherapy 9 years ago. So they're still going strong, so that's good. But then they had it, so they started that, and they also started radiation. Of course, I got on her yesterday. She didn't care too much for me joking with her. I joke with her all the time. She jokes back. But now they do radiation, and of course, melanoma doesn't react to radiation like other cancers. Some cancers are totally zapped with radiation. Doctor said, we're no different, but the doctor said if we can get it down 50%, We'll be thankful. And so they're working on it. But now you've been trying to change your bandage 2 or 3 times a day. And honestly, it's gotten so big that I have to put a baby diaper on it to catch. I just want you to know, to give you a little update. Cause that way, if you heard it, you can hear it from me instead of everybody else. It's a number 2 baby diaper. Fits over the tumor and to catch the stuff in it, the stuff that's running out of it and the blood. But I did joke with her the other day. She said, well, Dad, now I'm burning because of all this radiation. And I said, well, it does look like they're kind of cooking it. And she said, really, Dad? And I took a picture. I said, I tell you what, if we run out of salve, we'll go get some A1. Yeah, she said, Dad, sometimes you just ain't funny. And I said, you just as well laugh because we're in it. And she said, okay. And then she started laughing. So I think she was trying to make me, try to get me while I was getting her. Amen. But God's got this. So in all this storm, here's Bethany going on with this. And I just looking at all these people around us. So many people have lost so much in the middle of this storm. It's just, you know, I see it. And as I'm sitting there thinking about it and thinking about Bethany and thinking about what's going on, plus they started bone therapy on her. And so it's just a whole lot for her body to take. And so because of it, she sleeps a lot, but she's going to be, I believe God's going to do something special for her, and we're all going to believe it together. Amen. Amen. She, this morning, she said, Dad, do I really have to go to church? I said, well, that's the same thing I said. I'm just playing with y'all now. I said, no, you don't have to go, dear. So I changed her bandage, and I left her there, let her rest. But look, thanks after the storm. You know, you see that umbrella? And on top, I think it's a pigeon or a dove. I was hoping it was a dove, but after I got looking at it more, I don't know if it was a dove or a pigeon. I hope it's a dove. Amen. But there's our thanks after storm. It's going to be kind of short today. But I was sitting there thinking, again, the Mighty Army this morning. I tried to sin. Sometimes I try to sin Mighty Army, and if I get mixed up in my head of which one to sin, sometimes I say, well, Lord, I'm not sure which one to sin, and because these are speaking to me. All of them are speaking to me. And I always try to sin the Mighty Army that speaks to me. Never one that's just nonchalant, one's always speaking to me. And so I went to put one in, and it wouldn't take it. And I said, well, okay, there's 2 more. And I went to put the other one, and it wouldn't take it. So finally it took this one. And I said, okay, Lord, you're trying to tell me this is the one. I had no idea when we got here. As we're playing, we started smelling burning. DC's board burn up. Our DC's board burn up. He says, we're going to do something right at the very last minute before we start service. So then DC gets out an old amp. That old amp is so old, I think he used to cuddle that one in his crib. I'm not sure. That's an old amp. That started messing up. So I said, well, we'll get that eventually. And then I heard ding, and Brandon broke a string. And so I said, you know what, though? Look, those that say it can't be done needs to move out of the way of those that was getting it done. Amen? Amen. Go get the Lord a hand clap of praise. That was awesome for God to come through anyway. A little confusion, but it's okay because we got it. Now, thanks after the storm. Now, this is, I want y'all to read this with me. Come on up here, buddy. There we go. Say this with me. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, let's don't get this all tore up and get out of frame and say, so you mean the bad things that happen is the will of God? That's not what that says. That says, in spite of the circumstances, it's God's will for you to give thanks. Amen? There's a difference. I don't necessarily, when things are coming my way, I don't sit there and say, God, I'm so glad that Bethany's got cancer. God, I'm so glad this is going on. This, but I do say, God, in the middle of this cancer, I thank you. In the middle of this, because you're the controller. You're the healer. You are the great one. You're the divine one. You've got the last say. Cancer's the little C. You are the big C. I trust you, God. No matter what, I trust you. So in all circumstances, it's God's will for us to thank Christ Jesus. What that does is it says, I'm going to take this circumstance, no matter how bad it looks, I'm going to take it out of my hands and I'm going to give it to you, God, because I'm going to thank you and put it in your hands. So today, here's what I want you to do right now before we do any further. I want you just to put your hands up and I want you to say, God, you've seen what happened to us in the storm. I'm giving it to you and I'm giving you thanks. Go ahead. Lord, you've seen what happened to us in the storm. Say it. You see the loss and the devastation, But I'm giving it to you, Lord, and I thank you. And I thank you because this is your will. Praise the Lamb. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. So now, I remember, look at that. That is Hurricane Florence from the satellite. Is not that a massive storm? Is not that taking over a big part of the earth right there in that ocean? Now they called it a Category 4, and they said it was going to hit us at a Category 4. There was a little demonstration that showed a house that was built to withstand hurricane force winds. It showed it against a Category 1. It withstood against a Category 2. It withstood against a Category 3. It tore some stuff off of it, but it still stood. But when it hit a Category 4, this house that was built to withstand hurricane force winds was crushed. So I think about all this. I see all the stuff that they were talking about. And I was in Walmart, and I was actually, I was in Walmart, and I was talking. The line, of course, you know I'll be talking. The line was from all the way one place to the other. Every line was filled, and I was there, and I was getting some, I don't know, some batteries and and something else, because I had gone through my checklist, and I had actually forgot something. And so I went back to get it before the storm got here. So while I'm there, this guy behind me starts talking about how we're going to have another New Orleans, how we're going to have another Louisiana, how this is going to be like it did down there. It's going to destroy us up here. And he was going on and on and on about how bad things were going to be. The guy beside me, I heard him going, and finally the guy beside me said, that guy's been watching too much news. And I said, well, he's telling the truth that if it hits us at a Category 4, that can be happening. But I said, there's one thing this guy is leaving out. And he says, well, I said, matter of fact, most of the newscasters are leaving out this one factor. And he said, what's that, sir? Can you please tell me? I said, matter of fact, it gives me hope and gives me trust in all of this that's going on, that we're going to be fine. He said, please tell me what you're talking about. I said, he left out the divine factor. He said, how do you mean divine factor? I said, here it is. They're talking about a Category 4 and how destructive it can be and how it can destroy the eastern coast and make us just like the Gulf Coast years ago. And he said, and I said, but well, you know what? I said, let me ask you a question. Every time we've had a bad hurricane through here, how many times have you seen it just before it hit, it would slow down or it would change direction? He said, well, just about every time. I said, you know what that's called? He said, what? So I said, it's called the divine factor. And I said, you watch this. I believe with all my heart that God's going to turn, and it's going to turn, and it's going to slow down. There's going to be loss, and there's going to be problems because it's a big hurricane. But you watch. God's going to take care of it. The divine factor is going to kick in, and it's not going to be quite as bad as everybody says it's going to be. And the man started smiling and said, well, I sure hope that you're right. I said, well, I'm just knowing how our God is. Amen. So how many did see the news? I mean, they were scared of Jehebies out of you. I mean, the way they talked, I was thinking they put Pearl Harbor and 9/11 and all those all in one great big old pack and said that's what's going to hit us when Florence came. So how many prepared? Amen. How many went to the store and got bread and eggs and milk? Amen. Okay, you got stuff prepared. So they told us to be ready to survive for at least a week. And I happened to run across, I know I told y'all about this, I think told somebody about this. I was going through Walmart, and I saw this container. And this container says it would last, this food would last up to 30 years. And it sounded like something I used to cook. Amen. It would last up to 30 years. It would feed four people for 80 hours. And I took that. It was $19. So I got that, and I stuck that in the cart. And as I'm going along, you would if you went to Walmart, you'd believe how it was. It was crazy. Everybody was preparing, and everybody, you know, some of the people that I hadn't even heard talk about prayer were talking about prayer. You know, we say, well, why would God allow things like this to happen? Well, one reason is because it brings unity among the people. I remember when we lived in Benson, and Fran came through. And when Fran came through, Benson had never experienced anything quite like this. Bertha, I think it was Bertha came first, and Bertha came, and I remember watching when it came through Benson. I remember watching a big tree we had in the front yard when it came through, it spun this way and it was throwing the leaves off, and there was a few leaves left. Once the eye went over and it started spinning this way, it blew the rest of the leaves off. And I remember the flooding and stuff in Benson. Well, then Fran came through. When Fran came through, Benson had never experienced anything like this since Hazel. Fran came through, and I remember a tornado came behind our house, behind the parsonage. It tore up my boy's basketball goal. It tore up the pump house. It went in between the church and in between the fellowship hall and our neighbor's yard, and picked up a cedar tree, picked it up, and laid it on top of the fellowship hall. And then it went a little further down, shook the foundation of the church, went across the street and tore it all to pieces. The next morning, I get a call a couple hours later during this storm. You need to come over here to Benson to help us. And I said, I can't even get out of the house. It's not safe to drive. They told us to stay put. And this is a young guy, Ricky, the guy's preached here a few times. I'd sent him over to an elderly couple's house to watch them. He said, but the front porch just got knocked down by a tree. The porch is gone. I said, I understand, but Ricky, I can't get to you. We cannot get on the road. A few minutes later, he called and he said, Brother Donald's dead. I said, what happened to Brother Donald? He said, one of those trees fell through. He said, the very last thing he said was, when I said, Brother Donald, we need to move. He said, where we're going to go? There's nowhere to go. He said, what's going to happen? He said, God's going to take care of us. And about that time, a tree fell through the house and landed on his chest. And so I remember all that tragedy and being weeks without power. I remember all that stuff. You know, I remember also there was people in Benson that had not talked to each other in years. There was church people that had not fellowshiped with each other because they didn't go to the same kind of church the others went to. And I remember you could not go 20 yards down the highway, 242, without seeing cars or trees or something in the middle of the road. And all the houses, every house had trees down in throughout Benson. And so everybody pulled together, and I watched the community pull together like they had never pulled together before since we had been there. And a camaraderie took place, and a massive faith came together. So you say, why would God allow this? Well, look at this, prayer. People started praying. People started getting serious with God. They hadn't been serious with God in a long time. I mean, when you talk about Category 4, wow, that could have totally just wiped us off the map if it had hit us just right. And so they prayed, and then people pressed. They really gave it all they had. They stood right there. I remember going to DC's house. We worked on his generator hookup, and I remember going over and checking with Daniel with his generator hookup. And Daniel was kind of funny. Daniel said every year he winds up losing power during a hurricane, and so he told Michelle, he says, once we buy a generator, watch, we won't lose power. So he goes and buys a generator, last one in stock. He goes and has it get ready to set it up, and they have it set up for the storm, and he's the only one that didn't lose his power. God does have a sense of humor. Amen. And so again, I saw all this stuff. I saw people coming together, and I saw people praying for one another, and I saw people gathering together. And even now, you see people pulling together that you may not have seen pulled together in quite some time. But the biggest thing is that I see about all of this is I saw God stand on top of that storm and say, peace, be still. Well, come on now. Yeah, we got hit, but think about what happened if God hadn't said, peace, be still. Think of what would happen if a Category 4 had hit us with all those mighty winds, and what would we have done? We'd have just laid down and we'd have been torn to pieces. There'd have been mass casualties. And all we'd still be looking for people in the rubble if this had happened. It'd be just like in Louisiana. But you see what? Now that we know that God stood up and said, peace be still. Yes, they're still lost. All of us have experienced some type of loss, either directly or indirectly in our families or in our community. There have been some type of loss. But at the same time, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you this. After you see God did what he did push the storm the other way. Yes, the whole country was affected by this storm. But can you imagine what would have happened if we'd have had that direct hit? We would have been in trouble today. Some of us wouldn't even be here today. Amen? So my question now is, how many's praised God after the storm? Well, come on. How many's praised Him? Have you praised Him? If you haven't praised Him, now's a good time. Go ahead and praise Him. Yes, we have lost. Yes, we have hurt. But we're still here. I was going to the hospital at Newbern the other day. And as I was going through, I said, well, you know what? I'm going to go get me a Schlossky sandwich. I go to get a Slosky sandwich. I was going to carry some home. And the young man behind the counter, he said, well, sir, before you order your sandwich, I need you to know we don't have any lettuce. I said, okay. He said, I need you to know we don't have any tomatoes. I said, okay. I said, I understand trucks can't get to you. That's okay. I said, you do have bread, don't you? He said, yeah. I said, you got meat, don't you? He says, yes. I said, well, how about this? We're going to get the sandwich anyway. He said, I just wanted you to know that, watch this. Beggars can't be choosers. Now, the human part of me would say is, I'm not asking for a sandwich, I'm paying for one. But that's not what I said. I said, son. He said, yes, sir. I said, you know what a beggar is? I said, that's somebody standing there with his hands like he's waiting for a handout. I said, you look at all of us right now. Look around this community. Look around here. I said, this place has been hit and devastated. Watch, there people are standing up on top of this thing. We're not beggars. We're survivors. And we're standing up with our arms like this, locked arm in arm, and reaching up to God. I said, I'm not a beggar. I'm a survivor. You're not a beggar. You're a survivor. I thought the guy was going to get filled with the Holy Ghost right there. He said, yes, sir. I'm so glad you came in here. And then he gave me the wrong sandwich. Had jalapenos on it. It was so hot. Good Lord, I ate that thing. And I'm going to tell you, that fared me inside worse than the storm did on the outside. Amen. Woo! Okay. So now, just quickly, I took the word thanks. And just taking the word thanks, I just took all those letters from thanks and thought about the storm. So I just want us to think real quick, like I want us to think about this, okay? So now, here it is, thanks. All right, get ready. T. With T, I want you to listen to this now. Take nothing for granted. I have to admit, I get some mornings, and after Bethany's had a rough night, I have to admit sometimes I go in there and I don't see her moving. I have to wonder, is she still living? I mean, I do. And so because of that, because of how severe this cancer is, I know she's going to make it. I believe with all my heart, but the human side of me. So I walk in there and I lay my hand up there and wait for her to respond, because I have to give her medicine every morning at 6:30 on the dot. She has to have a certain kind of medicine, so I'm giving her that medicine. And so again, I've learned not to take that for granted. We lost DC and Daniel and Bethany's mother, my first wife. We lost her at 38, and I didn't think somebody at 38 doesn't normally, you know, die from heart problems and stuff like that. So again, I've learned to take nothing for granted. Matter of fact, listen, let me tell you something. Whatever we are, whatever we have, whatever we do can be gone tomorrow. You say, well, I'm strong. I can handle anything. If you get in the right situation, you get in a wreck and all of a sudden you've lost your power of your legs. Or you get broke, your neck's broken. All of a sudden, you have no power from the neck down. Or your job that you thought was so secure, all of a sudden, it's taken out. Or somebody that you thought was going to be with you for the rest of your life, and all of a sudden, they come in and say it's over. Whatever we are, whatever we have, whatever we do, honestly, can be gone tomorrow. James 4 and 14 says, how do you know, or don't you know that your life, or how you know your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like a morning fog, a vapor, a morning fog is here a little while and then it's gone. You know, when you're going through storms, that's one thing I thought. I was sitting there thinking there as we were going through the storm. Matter of fact, I was doing midterms just before the power went out. I went ahead, my midterm was due the next day, but I went on ahead and done it. And this midterm, I kid you not, she allotted 8 hours for a midterm exam. And when I saw that 8 hours and it was 10 questions, I went, get out of town. But of course, this is a 500 level psychology. So, but still, it took me 7 hours. And at the end of 7 hours, I sent it off. I even wrote it at the bottom. I know this might be a day or two early, but I don't know if we're going to have power tomorrow. I sent it to her, and within 30 minutes, we lost power. I said, thank you, God. Amen. Of course, I don't know what the grade is yet. I might not be thanking him when I get. Okay, so hey, y'all look at somebody and say, take nothing for granted. That's right. Number two, H. Remember, this I'm sitting on the couch. While I'm sitting on the couch going through the storm, matter of fact, I don't think we even had any power when I was even writing this. Okay? Number H. Ready? Be humble. Humble yourself before God. You know, I looked over as I was watching the Weather Channel, and Lynn and I were watching it. She said, "Son, this is bad." I said, "It's bad." I said, "But it ain't seen. I know." I said, "Florence ain't seen bad. Wait till they see that my father." That's right. And so I looked over and I grabbed Linda's hand, and I think I grabbed Bethany's, and we held hands, and I said, "No, y'all repeat after me." I said, "Okay." And I said, "Father, we agree with all of our brothers and sisters around the world, especially in harm's way of this storm. We agree with them, that you're going to turn this storm and lay it down. We agree with all of our brothers and sisters." And she said, and everybody said, "Amen." I said, "Now," and I felt a peace. And so the Weather Channel kept coming on, talking about how bad it was. And so as it would come on and he would talk about how bad it was, I'd say, "But you keep leaving out the divine factor." And then, this is cool, I happened to see this little, somebody called this out on the Weather Channel. They're standing there in their clothes, you know, all their hats and their duck hats and all this stuff, and the wind's blowing them. And they're standing there, and he's trying to talk, and he's going like this as he's talking, and the weather's just pushing him all around like this, and he's doing like this. And while he's doing it's like, "Oh, it's so bad, it's so bad, it's so bad." While he's doing that, two guys walk by and go, "Tell me that they won't hype something up. That was true. That was not made. That's true." He's going, "Oh," I mean, he's standing like this and the wind's blowing him. And the two guys in shorts, they're wearing shorts and t-shirts going, "Humble yourself before God." You know what? I told somebody this the other day, a guy stopped me in the Dollar Tree. He was complaining about some things that happened in his family, and he's going on and on and on and on, and he was just really, really having a hard time. And I hadn't seen this guy in 10 years, and the first thing I do when I see him, he starts talking about this. And I finally told him this. I said, "Look," I said, "I can stop, and I can change a lot of things." He was getting stuff for the storm. I said, "But I cannot change the wind, but I can adjust my sails." He was talking so fast he didn't even hear me. I said, "Did you slow down there, home slice? Slow down." I said, "There comes times when you cannot change the wind." I said, "But you can adjust your sails." And he said, "Yeah." I said, "If you learn to adjust your sails, you'll keep right on smooth sailing. You'll learn how to take what's coming at you, and you can keep on taking it any way whatsoever." 1 Peter 5:6-7 says, "Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that so in due time he may exalt you. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." You know what? I've never seen any man, there's not a man or woman in here, without the power of God, can go out there right now and stop that hurricane. Don't you know, if man could have figured it out, they would drop seeds in there, they would do something, they would build a wall, they would do something to stop that hurricane from coming. You know, one day I did, I was sitting in Woogie's. Back in Woogie's was that little bitty store. I'm sitting in Woogie's, and we're in there eating. It was on a Saturday morning. And all of a sudden, this cop car comes up, a sheriff's car, and it parks right across that mobile home place. And the guy gets out, but he puts on his hat, and he's got on his jacket. And I said, "That is that Daniel?" Linda says, "Yeah, that is Daniel." I said, "What's he doing?" She says, "I don't know." And everybody in Woogie's was getting up walking out. I said, "There's a lot of guilty consciences in here." And then Daniel walked to the stoplight. And he walked to the stoplight wearing his hat and wearing his stuff. He went to the stoplight. He was waiting for the hearse to come. It was only one hearse and one car. It come up, and he's on 17, and he pulled up that stoplight. And he did like this, and everybody stopped. He looked over at this guy, the hearse, and says, and so the hearse comes on through. After the hearse comes on through, Daniel does like this again. He walks back out, gets in his car, and he leaves. The Lord spoke to me and said, that's how you do it. That's how y'all do it. What am I talking about? There's things you can't do a thing about. There's things you cannot change. There's things that you're going to have to be humble and accept that God's got you. But you know what? They weren't stopping for Daniel. They could have run over Daniel and hit it. Never, some cars would never even felt him if they'd have run over top of him. But they could not run over that badge. When Daniel showed them that badge, they all stopped. If I'd have gone out there and done that, nobody would have stopped for me. They stopped for that badge. Little and puny as he used to be, they stopped for that badge. He had authority behind him. He said, stop in the name of Beaufort County law, this part of North Carolina law that is backed by the United States government law, which is backed by world law. You will stop in the name of the... Okay, the same way. I have got to be humble, but you know what? I can stand through the authority of Jesus Christ and do a whole lot more. Look, as long as I'm humble, I can do a whole lot more. Amen? So now, watch this. Next word. Action. Y'all say action. No matter what's happened to you in this storm, keep moving forward. Some of y'all have already gone through storms before this storm hit. Some of y'all are in the middle of a storm while this storm hit. Some of y'all are still in a storm after this storm hit. But you know what? You keep moving. Don't let circumstances stop you. You know what? You may have to stop. You may have to pick up the pieces. You may have to rebuild. But I love this scripture right here. You know what it is? Back up, back up. The wind blew it too fast. Come on. I got to readjust the sails. There you go. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which means he makes me more than enough. He makes me equal to every challenge. Our God has got it together. And no matter what we have to face, we know because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Amen. Just keep moving. Don't stop moving. Whatever you do, let God get in you. Let God get a hold of you. Let God do his thing. People are watching. Are we going to lay down and play dead? Are we going to keep moving? God is awesome. All the time. Amen. It's like I was in Newbern and they said the president was there. I realized I was thinking, why is the traffic so heavy? I know why now. Want the eager beaver side of me or the otter in me, the sanguine one to ride over and shake his hand and talk to him. But the common sense of me said, you better stay back, son. And so I just stayed on back because I tried to even, I said, well, you know what? Maybe if I just happen to see him over somewhere, I can pull over and say something. And as I get on the road, the traffic was so thick, I said, never mind, I'll just go on, honey. So now, never forget God is in control. Not Florence, God. Florence did a lot of damage, but Florence is not in control. God is. God is always in control. There's a lot of things in our life that I cannot control, but God can control anything. God is still in control. Amen? Matter of fact, there's never a time that he is not in control. I trust him with my very life. I trust him with our church. I trust him with my daughter's life. I trust him with my family's life. I trust him. There's things I can't do a thing about, but I know I can trust him, and he'll work it all out if I just trust him. Amen? So now, there's never a time. Somebody say, there's never a time God's not in control. Amen. So, there we go. Let's go on back here. Let's do this. I'm moving so fast. My fingers are clicking faster than I. My fingers are working faster than my brain. Anybody ever had that happen? Okay, I remember one time I stopped at Starbucks, and I said, I just want a John Wayne coffee. People are getting all those other coffees. I don't want to get all that fancy stuff. Just give me a John Wayne coffee. The guy said, oh, you want a John Wayne? I said, yeah, it's one of the regular black coffee. He said, no, you want a John Wayne. I said, okay, what's a John Wayne? He said, watch this. And he pulled out a shot glass. Already, I said, we in trouble. He put two shots of half and half in it. Then he put two shots of espresso in it. And then he put two shots of white. He said, give me a flavor, any flavor. I said, okay, caramel. He put two shots of caramel. It was about that thick. He said, now, what I need you to do is I don't need you to sip it. I need you to take it to your head all at once. I said, really? He said, yeah, this is a $5 drink. I'll give it to you for free if you'll take it to the head. Not because I'm cheap, but because I like a challenge. I went, oh. And on the way down, it was saying, you are so stupid. When it finally hit, he said, do you want another one? I said, no, sir, I think I'll do. I set it down, got in my car, and almost got a speeding ticket on the way home. It was like the lights were blinking. I answered the door and the doorbell weren't even ringing. I went back and said, you want another one? I said, yeah, I'll try it one more time and see if it does that again. That was my last one. Okay, here we go. God's always in control. Here we go. Get ready. The Bible says, then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last. He was here before Satan ever sinned. Next week, we're going to talk about throwing the book at him. Next week's going to be awesome. You're going to want to be here. It's going to be awesome. Revelation 13:8 says, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. I mean, that word foundation means before it ever fell all to pieces. It was already in God's mind. I want you to think about something. It was already in God's mind. There's already been a meeting. Jesus had already purposed in his heart he was going to die on that cross. Although he had not done it, still in his mind. And if God thinks it, if God says it's going to happen, it's as good as done. It's the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He still was going to die. So look, here we go. Okay. Keep your eyes on the blesser, not the blessing. I learned a long time ago, take my eyes off the blessing. I got a brand new car one time, a Dodge Colt, back when they had Dodge Colts. I thought it was so awesome. To show you how crazy I was, I traded a 65 Mustang for it. I wish I'd have kept the 65 Mustang because it's still worth some money. Dodge Colt. Daddy said, I washed the numbers off the license plate. I washed it every day, whether it needed or not. I took very special care of this car. I thought it was awesome. It was the most prettiest thing I had ever seen. I was the first person in the county to have a Dodge Colt. I love that car so much. And after it got dinged once or twice, the newness wore off. And after the newness wore off, pretty soon, you couldn't even see the license plate numbers, not because I'd washed them off, because there was mud on them. Pretty soon, all that work I did to it didn't count anymore. You know why? Because the blessing weren't a blessing anymore, especially when I had to start making those payments. I think about a lot of things in my life that I held on to so strong, the blessings. Somebody asked me one time not long ago, said, how come you just don't let things bother you like this? Why do you just don't want to have a bunch of stuff? I said, because I learned a long time ago that all that stuff is stuff. It's just stuff. Just stuff. I've learned to keep my eye on the blesser. And if you can keep your eye on the blesser, he'll bless you, and he blesses you to be a blessing. But the Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. I like what the Message says. People with their minds set on you, you keep completely whole, steady on their feet, because they keep at it and don't quit. Don't get your mind so much on things, because things can be replaced. I couldn't wait to get an FFA jacket. Anybody ever have an FFA jacket? I thought it was awesome. But after I grew it, what good was it? Put it in a closet. Can't even wear it again. I thought it was cool to get my first suit. The very first suit I got was from Griffin's Stop and Shop. Y'all remember that? Griffin's Stop and Shop in Washington. I thought it looked good on me. He took me to the mirror and said, man, you look so good. I just started church. I had a suit now. I'm looking good. I got home the next day when I went to church. I looked like I'd slept in it, and it looked like it was three sizes too big for me. And I found out what it did. While I was standing in front of the mirror, he took his hand and grabbed the back of the coat and squeezed it. I kid you not. He said, man, that thing fits like a glove. Look at there. And when I walked out, he took his hand off, and I didn't see it. So here I am with this brand new tie, this brand new suit. DC's a baby. I carry him to church. I turn him around. We're praising God. I'm thinking I'm looking sharp in my suit, even though now it don't fit quite right. What happened? And I hold DC up, and I said, praise God, DC. And, ugh! There went my suit. Get your eyes off the blessing. Get your eyes on the blesser. And then finally, yes. I told you, this is a hurricane sermon. You say this when the power's out. You learn new stuff when the power's out. You should be thinking about things. Thinking about things while waiting for the power to come back on, if it's going to come back on. Say thanks often. Thank you, God. Help me remember that this is only temporal. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. This is all temporal. When you get to heaven, that's going to be eternal. You see, 2 Corinthians 4:16, the Message says, so we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside where God is making us new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the good times that are coming. The lavish celebration that's prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we now hear today will be gone tomorrow, but the things we cannot see will last forever. I came across this, and DC, come on up here. The BJ, y'all come on up here. I came across this during the storm, and I remember hearing a song, and it reminded me of that song. Sometimes he calms the storm with a whispered peace, be still. He can settle any sea, but it doesn't mean he will. Sometimes he holds us close and lets the winds and waves go wild. Sometimes he calms the storm. Other times he calms his child. I know I talk about it all the time, and the reason is because it's right here happening in front of me, my very, very face. Bethany. Just the other day, Bethany said, Daddy, it hurts so bad. And then they're doing radiation, so now it's all red. And so the tape's on the radiation, on the sunburn, and it's just all, and it's just terrible. And I looked at her, and I said, Dear, I promise you, if I could, I'd reach down and take that cancer off of you and put it on me. versus watching you go through this, I would take it gladly. And she said, I know you would, Daddy. I said, but I can't. But there's one thing I can promise you. I'll be here. And when you're needing a friend, when you're needing a hand, when you're needing a word, when you need somebody just to hold you, I'm here. And she says, I know, Daddy. And I thought about that. I can't calm her storm, but I can hold her in all of this and tell her I love her and that she's not by herself. I think about many storms in life. It'd be better if we didn't have to go through the storm, but you know what? A victory without a battle is a very small victory. It's a light victory. I've seen young preachers preach one way, and then after they go through life and they go through things with their children and go through things with their family and go through things with their job, and they all of a sudden have been hit below the belt two or three times and just get back up. Now they're resilient. And now when they stand up, before when they talk, honestly, it was like puffing stuff. But now when they talk, it's got power. Because now they're talking through being purged through the fire of their self. And it changes their whole outlook. And it changes the way they deliver God's word. I was riding down the road yesterday. And I was talking to God. And I said, God, in all of this, I know we're more than conquerors. And in all of this, we're victorious. In all of this, we've already won. And the Lord spoke back to me and said, yes. But the battle still rages. And you're going to have to fight daily. But just know, you're not fighting to victory. You're fighting through victory. Stand strong, son. Stand strong. God has us in the palm of His hands. If we'll trust Him. Everybody stand up. First, I want everybody to put their hands up and just say thank you. Things aren't perfect, but thank you, God. Things are still hurting, but thank you, God. Things aren't like we always want them, but thank you, God. Because this is your will to thank you, no matter how things are looking. Thank you. Come on, thank Him, somebody. I want to hear some thanks. Thank Him, church. Thank Him, church. Now, if you've got a need in your life, whatever that need is, maybe you've lost in the storm, maybe there's somebody else that has, maybe there's something you're just trying to do and you got another storm brewing in your life and you're trying to handle another storm, these altars are open. Sometimes God calms the storm. Sometimes He holds us and calms us in the storm. You got a need. Come on up here. You got to talk to God. Come on up here. God's awesome. God's awesome. God's awesome. God's awesome. God's awesome.